lesson outline. If you do not have a lesson outline, achievements, there's one right over there, Dino. And then Bob up here and a couple visitators. Okay, amen. I have survived Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and this morning. And my mother-in-law's here. Thanks for your prayers. I really appreciate that. Yes, the day is young. But I cluttered my day today, so it helps out. No. Anyway, she's all right. We had our disagreements at the beginning, and so we're fine. So I don't want to kill her anymore. I don't think she wants to kill me. I don't think so. I remember someone reminded me, you know your wife has a mother-in-law too, right? You know? What did someone say? Marriage is a wife that's in shock and a mother-in-law that's surprised or something like that. I can't remember how it goes. But anyways, okay, look at our lesson outline. Let's go, if you would please, let's go to the book of Psalm in chapter 76 and let's go right into the lesson. We have a lot to do and I'd like to finish this today if possible. We're going to do a new one talking about the threefold cord. We're going to talk about that next week, hopefully, Lord willing. If the rapture occurs, our next lesson will be from Jesus Christ himself, which is okay with me. But if you would, Psalm 71, verse 16 says this, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. And we're actually down to number 5 right now. I will help you try to fill in some blanks as we go down through this and just get review so we can get to point 5. But one of the things that we're talking about on, on being a dynamic disciple, and you say, well, what's a dynamic disciple? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear when we get heaven. Not everybody's going to hear that. In fact, according to my Bible, broad is a way, more will go the broad way, Christians. Because remember, when on the Sermon on the Mount, he's not talking to unsaved people. He's talking to his disciples. And he says, a broad way, many go that way, but boys, come on, go the narrow way. It's straight, it's narrow, it's boring. No, I'm just saying. Because straight usually means boring. I got to go straight and narrow. I can't veer off to one side or the other. Yeah, you can. But the Lord says, you want to, you're on your own. This is the one I'm on. You want to veer off to one side or the other, you're on your own. But he said, broad is the way. So there's going to be many that go thereby, and few will hear the words, well done. Now, you may be like I was back in 1978, 1979. I was struggling with my Christian life and where I was going. I was trying to regroup. My wife and I was trying to regroup. We finally, about 79, 80, we finally said, that's it. We're going to get on the straight and narrow. We're not getting off. So praise God, 47 years later, we're still on the straight and narrow. There's been times we trip and fall and stub our nose and get back up and go on. Come on, amen. Every Christian's ever been alive has made mistakes, but we've tried to stay on that straight and narrow way because I want to hear well done. Guess what your pastor wants? All of you to hear well done. I want to be a good shepherd to where I'm not the great shepherd. I'm just a good one. I want to be a good one that leads my flock to the Lord, and that's I want to stay that way. So how do we do that? We go in the strength of the Lord. A dynamic Christian should achieve something. Anybody ever have a student or a coworker that seems to never learn? Anybody have someone like that? I don't know what it is. You've been here as long as I've been here, and you haven't learned a blasted thing. You ought to learn something. Christians, we ought to get better. Come on, amen? We ought to be better at what we're bad at. In other words, get better, and we ought to prove ourselves, and there ought to be something. So we see, first of all, our faith. Faith. How do we know our faith has gotten better? Because we believe that without it, it is impossible to please Him. So we need to realize the reason a dynamic believer says, my faith has to be strong, because if it's not, I can't please God. So your faith becomes strong. Number 2 there, or B, with it, all things are possible. See, a dynamic Christian doesn't use the word, I can't. the phrase. We don't use those words. With God, all things are possible. It can't be done. That's impossible, preacher. I've heard people say that over the years. I remember when we started this building, we're hearing people say, that's impossible. You're going to lose. I had one member say, you're going to lose the church's money. Well, we're doing pretty good as a church financially. Why? Because I know all things are possible through God. And that shows a dynamic. And that's what we need to do, have a faith that shows that we're dynamic Christians. Number C, with it, you can do anything through Christ. So, all things are, it's impossible. With it, all things are possible. And with it, you can do anything through Christ. Goals. Now, this you're going to have to put in your own stuff. But goals. We have short-term goals. Listen, I don't know how your life is, but I do know this in my life. If I don't set some kind of goal for the days. Now, I have a statement I use to every young man that comes in there and wants counseling. My mountain life's a messed up, or even an older gentleman, middle-aged or older. A guy comes, especially guys come in, I'll look at him, I'll say, listen, your life is a mess. You're like a boat in the water with no oars. You're wandering here and you want to, do you make any goals in your life? Well, what do you mean? He goes, I just try to survive. Listen, I always tell him this, if you don't control your day, you'll never control your life. You got to control your day. I was talking to someone one time. I says, when do you get up in the morning? They go, well, it depends. What? Well, it depends on what. You work in, some people work different shifts. I had a guy that worked for Owens Corning Fiberglass, and he'd have a swing shift for 5 days, and then he'd have 3 days off, and then he'll have a midnight shift or graveyard shift for 3 days, and then he'd have 5 days off, and then he'd have days. I'm going, how do you even live? I mean, that's chaos, amen? I said, they're going to have to fix that, and they ended up fixing it years later. And I can understand someone having a weird schedule, you know, and he had to go through his whole calendar for the week and mark it all out there. He didn't know what he was doing until he went to bed, what he was doing the next day. That's crazy. But most of us don't have a lifestyle like that. So we ought to be able to, how about, and the first one, short term, I put Bible reading. That's a short-term goal. You go, what do you mean short-term? Short-term, each day. I'm going to get up and read my Bible every day. How many of you have already done it? Today, got up your Bible, read your Bible. Oh, that's about half. Come on. Amen? Now, we ought to read our Bibles every day. Come on, amen? Now, some people read at night. The only reason why I don't is two reasons. The Lord said, early I rise. You know, he got up early and did his prayer and Bible reading and stuff like that. We got to early rise too. But it also says day and night. So you got to do it both times. Some people read. I don't read. Number two, I don't read. Try to read when I get done working. How many of you got done working? You ate a meal. You sit down and that's where you stayed until it's time to go to bed. Because if you work hard and you come home and sit down, I tell my wife when I come home, you got anything for me to do? She goes, why? Because as soon as I'm down, I'm down. I don't want to get back up. I'm tired. And I start my Bible. I've had people say, I can't sleep, preacher. Well, get your Bible out and start reading. The devil will help you sleep. It's good sleeping pill. You don't need a sleeping pill. Just start reading your Bible. If it's really bad, start in Leviticus. You'll get there. Another one is long-term, the fruits of the spirits. You know, getting the fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Amen? Long term, I want these things to be in my life. How many of you had no time, a problem having patience every once in a while? Try to develop patience in your life all the time. That's a tough one. And Christians should be able to get these things in their life. They should be able to make these goals. Dynamic Christians make goals. Regular, normal, everyday, mediocrity Christians are up and down. You remember when New Year's resolutions used to be popular? I don't think they're as popular as they used to be. But they used to be very popular and would have, oh, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to read my Bible, or I'm going to witness to people. We ought to have these goals and make them. Amen? Something beyond your normal life, soul saved, lives restored, something further down the road, something beyond you. Your everyday normal life. Go to work, Get up, read your Bible, go to work, come home, take care of the family or the property, and go to bed. We ought to have goals that say, hey, interrupt this from time to time, Lord, would you? Let me see something else. Let me see an opportunity to witness to somebody. I made a goal years ago that if I spend more than 5 minutes with someone, I at least invite them to church. That was just a goal I had. Now, I've failed a couple times, but most of the time, if I spend more than 5 minutes, they got to get a track or an invite to church, or I stop and witness to them, have the opportunity. Those are goals we could set. Last one here, something beyond you. Something beyond you. Something in the church, something with your family, health, difficulties you might be having, your country. Something beyond you. So, goals. Number two, three, habits of life. Habits of health, sorry. Habit of health. Most people want me to go right by this, so I'll go right by it. Your body is the temple of God. It is God's temple. Remember that. At least some bodily exercise. I still get a kick out of, and I was talking about this the other day because my son Daniel is going through, he must be having a problem again with his heart. And so he came to me and said, Dad, what do I do? And he goes, would you pray for me? I says, yes, I will, but I want to give you some counsel first. And he goes, what do you mean? Exercise. I said, when's the last time you've done a push-up? I can't remember. I says, exercise a little bit. Well, I don't know how many push-ups you can. Can you do one? Yeah, then do one. Every day do one. Get up to two. Come on, amen. And girls, push-ups don't count. And I says, and then I told him chocolate because he had headaches, and then peppermint because he had heartburn. And he laughed at me of those things. Well, he calls the doctor and says, you have the chart, and here's the last, the information from the hospital the other day. And the doctor says, well, I'm going to give you some advice. This is what you need to do. You need to walk at least 1 mile a day. Exercise. You need to eat dark chocolate. It'll help you with the headaches and the heart. And you need to take peppermint because oil at least, so it's good for heartburn. I went, maybe I need MD at the end of my name. But being serious, a lot of times people don't listen to their pastor, but they'll listen to their doctor. I guarantee if you take that to your doctor and say, well, this is what my pastor say. Can you believe how crazy he is? Get up and eat breakfast in the morning. Eat a breakfast. Drink at least 8 ounce glasses of water per day. Exercise. And have a variety of foods in your diet. Don't get stuck on something. Have a variety of foods. They always say a variety of colors. That's why I like cherry pie, chocolate, steak, and taters. Variety of variety of color. Okay, remember at least some bodily exercise. And lastly, eat the right things in the right amount. Put a knife to your throat if you're given to appetite, the Bible says. Be careful how much. But also, junk in, junk out. You know, listen, I remember sitting down one time and eating five big stuffed burritos. They're about that big and about that long at one time. After I got done with that, I had some cherry pie, and a few hours later, I had some popcorn and a Dr. Pepper. And I wondered why I was sluggish the next morning. There might be a reason there. Come on, amen. I've found out, listen to your body. I mean, I'll be sitting there eating sometimes. Brenda goes, what's the matter? I said, I'm done. She goes, how do you know? Well, that one piece of steak took 42 chews before my body said swallow it. So I figured out it was enough steak. So I'll have this part, this little 1 ounce or 2 ounce part tomorrow. I mean, you just got to listen to your body. Of course, the cherry pie said yes. Just be careful. Come on. In other words, listen, we're going to be judged. A dynamic disciple understands their body is the works they do it in. We take care of our cars sometimes better than we take care of our bodies. Oh, me? So be careful. Okay. We're off of it. Okay. Go to the next one is knowledge. And let's, knowledge is what we talked about that. The Bible says that we ought to increase, we ought to grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Number one, it is commanded. It is a command. He didn't say, if you want to grow in the knowledge of Christ. He said, no, grow in the knowledge of Christ. Amen? Like when I told one of my sons, go clean your room. And he goes, he didn't clean his room. I walked in there. I said, what are you doing? He was laying around, sitting on his bed, reading a book. I said, what are you doing? I told you to clean your room. Oh, I thought you was just suggesting. Okay, so I said, I suggest you clean your room in the next 5 minutes or I'm getting a paddle and making sure that you understand I'm telling. You know, God commanded us to grow. He commanded us, and a Christian, you know, a dynamic disciple, follower of Christ will do what he says and want to know more about him. Listen, you want to hear well done, well, what you know, you can't hear well done if you don't know what you're supposed to get done at. Come on, amen? Anybody ever did a job and found out you missed something? And sometimes it's because they didn't tell you that something. Other times you just missed it. Now, it's nice, or you didn't know. It's nice to know what's expected, and the Lord says, I'm going to give you what's expected. And then that way, you can do it. Amen? Number two, it can help you know you got saved. And then lastly, it helps you grow. It helps you get saved. The Bible talks about that in the book of John chapter 5. But it also helps us to grow. Okay, let's look at the next one. And that is Romans 12. Go to Romans 12. I put a marker on mine. I cheated. Romans chapter 12. I want you to Romans 12. Anybody get all them? Okay, we'll go to Romans 12, and we'll try to finish up. I got 20, 25 minutes, and we should finish up. So Romans 12, verse 11 says this. Someone told me years ago that the book of Romans chapter 12 is the life. It's a life chapter. You can read that. If you follow that, it'll help you run your life good. And it is a good chapter. Not slothful, verse 11. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So the next one that we see is organized. Organization. A Christian ought not be in chaos. A Christian ought not be a great waster. A good Christian ought to be, and I put down here on mine, and I'm going to get to the two things, but a good steward. God has given us everything we have. I was asked by Rebecca to get some verses on the soul, that man has a soul. And one of the things I liked is God preserves our soul, keeps our soul. Amen? God is the one that gave us our soul. And he breathed into us and we became a living soul. No other part of creation was given the breath of God. Only humans. Humans are the only ones that are a living soul. And so, praise God for that, amen? Other things have the spirit, the touch of God, the life given to them by God, but not a living soul. This communication between human beings, we have. And it's something to keep, that soul is supposed to keep us together. But God gives us a good steward. So God gives us some thought. I just have two things here. Time. Time's the first thing. One of the reasons, now I know, Let me throw something out. I know we joke about rice. And I'm not, listen to me very carefully, the reason, and I'm going to give you the reason why. And if you don't agree, that's between you and God and your life. Rice has zero attributes for your health. It has no nutritional value. So it doesn't. It's got starch in it. That's it. And that's not good for your soul. I mean, your body. That's all it has. Reason why I don't eat it. Number one. To me, it's a waste of effort. Like, I don't like eating crab. Why? Crab is too much work for such little meat. Amen? I mean, I'm sitting there going, I don't like crab enough to buy one of them. Now, if my wife wants to buy it, crack it open and put it on my plate, I'll eat some. But I just think it's too much work for the little. Now, okay, so you say, and what are you trying to say? Same thing. Listen, and I know people make fun of me of this. I don't like the introduction of internet in our lives. It has caused too much waste of time for the believer. And our minds are so wrapped up in what's going on our phones and in our computers that we can't even... When's the last time you spent... Well, let me put this. How much time this week have you spent praying for a lost soul? Studying about your Lord in the Scriptures. Meditated. Stopped. Turn off. Get apart. Just you and Jesus. Think about that. But we spend all of our time. It has captivated us and has caused us to be poor stewards of our time. I'm not saying don't do it, but be a good steward of it. Come on, amen? Don't let it control you. A dynamic disciple does it. Anybody ever work with someone that all of a sudden you're standing there looking at them, they're doing this? It looks like it's going to rain. And they've been standing there for 5 minutes. We had a kid in our church doing this, school. And my wife finally, after a few minutes, I'm sitting over there. She goes, "What are you doing?" And I was in the kitchen. I looked over there. Oh, I saw a fly flying. And we laugh at that, but yeah. There's things to do in life, but we're stuck on that. The study we could do about Jesus, but we're stuck on that. There's prayer we can give to others, but we're stuck on that. Come on, amen. Oh, me. So, first one is time. Number two is money. No one wants a pastor to talk about money. The Bible talks about us being good stewards. It is required of a steward to be what? Faithful. A faithful steward. Okay, question I have. Who gave you your money? God. I remember watching an old movie, and I'm trying to remember the name, Jimmy Stewart, Civil War time. I think it was called Shenandoah. Shenandoah, yeah. I think that's what it sounds like. And he's sitting at the dinner table, and he starts to pray, and I go, "All right, this is the first time I've ever seen it." He starts to pray. He says, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the food we worked hard for, the land that we brought, worked and cleared, and the harvest that we harvested, and the seed that we planted." And I'm listening to this going, what is going on here? These guys are doing nothing but lifting up them as if they did everything. I know this. Does anybody agree with me? When you're in bad health, who do you call? Not Ghostbusters. You call on the Lord, don't you? Why is that? Because we realize where health comes from. When we get in financial difficulty, we cry out to God, "Help us out, what's going on?" Or they call the pastor and say, I'm hurting. Oh, me? What I'm trying to say is, God has given us some finances. He says, take care of it. I'm going to come back and see how you took care of it. A dynamic disciple, when the Lord comes back, we did a good job. I'm trying to do that with our church. And every penny's accounted for. I still remember Brenda not missing a dime, I think it was, and she was going nuts looking for that dime, and she finally found it. And I remember went to the bank. I was just telling the guy about it the other day at the bank, and he goes, "You're a penny short," and a penny comes out of the bag. No, I'm not. And he goes, we were looking for the penny. And so, listen, let's be good stewards of God's money too. Amen? Temperance. Go to 2 Peter, if you would please. 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would please. The book of 2 Peter chapter 1, talking about a dynamic disciple. It says in verse 10, if you would please. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 says this: "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall."